Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio. Now, here's your host, Jay Garvin.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs Gold winner. Have to love the changing beautiful fall colors of Colorado and across the entire scape of this beautiful country, U.S. of A. I am Jay, and I'm your fall friend. Live from the studios at KRDO in the Pikes Peak region off of 8th Street, you've tuned into the Home and Mortgage Talk Show, the Jay Garvin Show. And to start this morning off, I want to pop my energy drink and say hello to everyone. I am Jay, and I'm your friend. You can get a hold of me at 719-330-1457. I am here today in the studio not only as a licensed loan originator, which I am one of the few gladiators to survive and still be in the coliseum of mortgage lending and real estate. The industries are getting thinner and thinner. Some of my counterparts are going away. I am excited to see some new life come into the industry. But I'm here today to talk to you about my favorite topic, and that is real estate. I am also a real estate investor. I've got several houses right here in the Pikes Peak region, a couple in Park County, and then also a couple remaining around the country looking to sell in Tennessee and buy possibly more in the Pikes Peak region, but moving west this time possibly in Utah or Montana. So you've come to the right place if you like to discuss real estate. You've come to the right place if you like to hear the numbers for the Pikes Peak region MLS, the multiple listing system, and the economic update with Bill McAfee. He's going to be here later today. But for the rest of you, I've got a personal conversation that I had to travel 900 miles across the country to do research on outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Call it North Prairie or Maguanago, depending on which place you were driving from. But today's podcast and radio conversation with the drum roll, Matt, is building a new home. Is it a blessing or a headache? So there's your titled conversation and the subtitle, building a new home. Is it a blessing or a headache? Now, like I said, I visited Wisconsin not only once, not twice, but three times to do the research for what my younger brother just did as a retired plumber with a lot of construction experience under his belt, literally from A to Z, 0 to 100, start to finish. Took him just over 18 months. He went from a concept in his head of wanting a piece of land further away from the lake, further away from the suburbs, get into that golden flyover real estate in the Midwest with red barns and silos and cornfields dotting the map, for him to find a beautiful, pristine acre, get and find a plan, architectural design for the house, and then put together all of the pieces. And if I must say, he did an absolutely spectacular job. But just going through this at the very beginning with him, walking vacant dirt, to doing a mid-construction visit when the outer walls were up and he was starting to put in all of the details and the innards of the house, with great help from his assigned GC, general contractor and builder, all the way to my latest trip just early this month in October to see the finished product, all the way down to the graded and seeded grass lot. So we're going to go through this A through Z today, and there is basically four pages here of things I'll walk through you. And before we go to break, I want to tell you a couple of things. One, the Fed, Jay Powell, and the Federal Reserve is meeting later this month. So cross your fingers, get excited. We might have another quarter of a point Fed fund rate decrease. I am robust in my prediction that I think it's going to be a 0.5%, especially with the latest jobs report and the shutdown federal government as of this radio show here on, the 18th of October. But here are the four pages of notes I have for the process of buying land and building a new home from scratch. Because, first of all, you have to start with step one, folks, and that's starting with your choice and your size of your house and your architectural designs. Number two, search, find, alter, subtract, add to that design, critical land and component adjustments, and then, of course, the third part of that first step is you have to acquire land, and we go through all the details. But in step two, you actually have to go through the financing, which I am the expert as a licensed loan originator, the land purchase, and the purchase of the plans. And then, step number three, you've got to make sure that you complete the process of buying the land and actually planning, interviewing, and hiring a builder or a general contractor. Then four, you've got to get all of your materials, starting with the physical construction materials and everything in between. Then you actually have to build the home structure. Then you have to install amenities and necessities. You had to outfit the entire house with insulation. You have to hang all of the ceiling and drywall and other interior wall components and paint. Then you have to finish the entire interior. You, of course, have to incorporate your personal touches. And then finally, you do your walkthrough, your cleanup, and then there's always the necessity of completing your extras and add-ons. Now, if you're building out in the country like my brother was, or I have looked into in Utah and Montana, you just don't hook up to city water. You just don't pull that power from the nearest pole. You just don't hook up to city waste. We're going to talk all the way through the details of how to acquire and get a well drilled and what's the price range on that. How are you going to lay a septic? How are you going to get electrical out to your property? All of these things and many, many more you and I are going to discuss. But most of all, if you're looking to build a house out there, I can get you to the right sources to purchase your land. I can get you to the right sources to get some personalized architectural design, or if you're a do-it-yourselfer, how to go online and find that. And then most importantly, how do you transition through vacant land and a construction loan into permanent financing? There are ways that you can do an all-in-one close. You just call me at 719-330-1457. I can help you with that. I can help you with your investment property purchases, the first-time home buyer for your adult children, friends, or neighbor. I want to thank Chris. I'm helping out his adult children right now, and I want to thank everyone else who's given me referrals. Call me at 719-330-1457. I would love to help you with your next purchase or refinance transaction. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show, back after these important messages.
In the middle of a street,
Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio. We're back with your Home and Mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment brought to you by Texas Roadhouse, legendary food, legendary service, located on 8th Street next to Walmart.
Hey, where's the beef?
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay. I'm your friend. Today's conversation is very near and dear to my heart. I have never done what I'm teaching here today. I have watched 10 or 15 people do this. My parents built their own home in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Now, the show notes that I'm sharing with you are specifically walking through the process with my, of course, adult brother, retired plumber, and very good friend of mine, Grant, in Mequonago, Wisconsin, got a crazy idea a couple years ago that he was going to build a house. And to do that is a mouthful, because Building your own home is an amazing experience, but the bottom line is that it is a lot of work, both physically and emotionally. I think it's fantastic that he did it right as he retired as a plumber, and now he works basic assistance for alcohol recovery facilities that one of his friends owns and operates, and he's able to help there, make some money, pay the bills, and pursue one of his bucket lists in life, and that is, of course, to build a house from scratch. And I'm going to put time frames on a lot of these different phases. You know, you can go to the internet and Google this stuff about what are the steps to build a home and so forth like that. But there's so much planning. I'm very impressed with the people that I've watched that are detail oriented. The simple approach up front is when you do things, do them once. Change orders cost money, time costs money, and you have to have a comprehensive list of every single thing that needs to be done along the way. Now, the important thing to start with is your planning, because when you're building a home from scratch, you start from land. And you've first got to make a choice of the size, the square footage, the layout, all of the architectural home design. Now, my brother was ingenious with this. He bought his plans online. He had a reverse layout plan where he flopped the layout of the house in a mirror image with the actual architectural plans, the layouts, the building design that has all the different phases of the electrical, all the different phases of the plumbing, the HVAC, the doors, the setbacks, the measurements, everything. And he was able to do all of that for less than $2,000. And I've had other individuals I've coached through from the mortgage end, because I am one of the owners and an active loan originator with Churchill Mortgage, where we do construction to permanent loans. And I've seen people have architectural designs cost them anywhere from $35,000 to $75,000 scratch just for that portion of it. But you have to take that design, you have to plan out an entire list, and you build upon that as you go. There's 13 to 18 steps depending on who you're talking with. Today, I've done my best to minimize that down to 11 steps. Then you have to go out and search and find your location and the size of your land. This alone took my brother driving out and visiting 5 to 10 different locations. It took him 2 to 4 months, and he found the perfect piece of land and determined that the architectural design fit precisely on that land. And he got a bonus where when you build a foundation to put the home that you have the designs for on top, you have three types of basement. You either have a below grade basement, which is very, very common in the Midwest because of the avoidance of freezing. You have garden level, where part of it is underground and part of it you can at least still have buried but exposed walls up to a window in depth. And then you have a walkout, which actually gives you the most return on investment for square footage. And that walkout means that all or half of that rancher walks out to the lower portion of your property. And that's exactly what he did. So just in the first 5 to 15 designs he looked at and 5 to 10 land locations, and after determining the slope, the drainage, the orientation, east, west, north, south, this all matters in Colorado and deciduous states where you have snow, it would be really nice for your driveway to be south or east facing so you can shovel it rather than slide across the ice. All of those things play an integral part, and that's why documentation is the key. But once you get through that, step two is now making sure you can go through the land purchase, and if you're not a cash buyer on your plans, how you're going to finance that. A loser will go and put that all on their credit card, which is a bad approach, and a smart individual will pay cash for the plans. And if you are in a stage of life that you can afford it, as I recommend for building and designing your own home, you purchase the land for cash as well. Because if you need to get a construction loan, you're going to need to have equity in the project. And right now, with the way the interest rates are and the value of homes nationwide in general, here locally, as a very pinpointed example, you're not going to get a lot in future equity in 2025. When I built townhomes from scratch, we could do that in 2020, where the townhomes were originally originally appraised at 275, and we didn't sell a single one under 375 and went up to 425. But purchasing that land is in three different options. One, you can go to a local bank, put some money down, and get basically a commercial loan. You can get a shorter amortization 10-year or 15-year loan, or like I said, you can purchase it for cash. So going into step number three, you now have to actually interview and find a builder or a general contractor. You have to undertake the entire building process in step by step. Again, secret to everything is interviewing 2 to 5 professionals. You have to look at every aspect of the to-do list. What is the builder doing? What are you doing? This became a big factor with my brother because as a retired plumber, he found a builder and a general contractor that would do all of the framing, all of the interior, all of the exterior, all of the roof. But then when it came to completing the interior structure, he went ahead and took care of the plumbing. The builder took care of the electrical. The builder took care of the HVAC, the venting, all of that. You have to have a particular plan that includes your entire checklist and your timeline. Now, like I said again, you can't say this too many times, you assign all of the building and non-building tasks up front. There's a lot of tasks. If you're connecting to the city, someone's going to have to pull all the permits. That's, of course, going to be your general contractor or your builder. But if you are outside of city municipal, your builder is not going to be in charge of the well unless you pay them more, usually a 10% to do that legwork. The builder is not going to do septic. My brother did that on his own as a general contractor because he lives in that plumbing world, and you can save thousands of dollars by doing a lot of this general contracting yourself. I did this when I put on a 600 square foot carport onto my house in the Broadmoor, saved over $30,000 just working with the individual subcontractors on all phases. But the builder's not going to dig the foundation hole, but they, of course, have a subcontractor that they can do that, or you can do that in conjunction, working in concert. And that's where I stated that the piece of land is crucial, my friends, because there's a huge difference. This made a huge difference with my brother's house, with the actual council, the city council out there in Mequonago and North Prairie that approved and had exceptions as to whether your house is going to be fully below grade in the basement, a garden level, or a walkout. He had a slight slope in his yard, so he was able to do a walkout because when he got his architectural plans approved, because he's a bachelor, the square footage of his garage almost met the entire main level living space. And there was a formula problem with the city council that says, hey, you cannot have 50% of your square footage as non-living square footage. But by him having a walkout foundation in his basement, he said, hey, I've got another 2,100 square feet below grade that can and will be finished, therefore dramatically outcalculating the number of square foot that would be finished living square footage compared to garage. And that's a side note of what a bachelor and plumber need. Needs a 5-car garage with 3 garage doors and a full set of basement steps in the garage. And all of that needs to be done. The builder, of course, is going to contract for the concrete and flat work. That goes in conjunction with the contractors pouring and setting the foundation. But also, in the 11th hour of this, that now includes shed pads and driveways. All of that flat work needs to be accounted for. And then in this most immediate phase, yard preparation, tree removal, and drainage grading is absolutely essential. We're not doing landscaping, we're just doing grading so a flood of water doesn't come in and offset the foundation and or the construction. So going into step number four, you then immediately transition right into your materials and starting the actual physical construction. Who is going to buy all the building materials? Who's going to buy the finished materials like the doors, the windows, the fixtures, the cabinets, the appliances? Of course, the builder is going to get the framing pack from the architectural designs, but who's going to do, the builder or the subcontractor, all of the electrical, plumbing, roofing, HVAC, drywall, other flooring and wall and ceiling structures? All of that has to be accounted for and ordered because of the delay in time. And now, finishing out the second half of the list, you have to build the home structure. The builder's going to put together the frame. The builder's going to do all of the exterior to make it weathertight with roof, windows, doors, doors, siding, etc. Pretty simple, but a task in itself. You've seen houses come out of nowhere in a matter of 10 days to 15 days. That's the exterior build. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to be back after these important messages. Continue this conversation, plus share with you the economic update right here in the Pikes Peak region. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Call me at 719-330-1457. I am your licensed loan originator. Would love to earn your business with your next purchase or refinance transaction. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
Walking through forests of hungry hearts, man, scoff at the monkeys who live in the dark, man, down by the water hole, drunk every Friday, eating and...
Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio. We're back. Now, here's Jay Garvin's...
Housekeeping?
Well, welcome back. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. For this entire hour, I'm talking about building a home. Headache or celebration, you decide. But in some reprieve from that, I've got Bill McAfee in the radio studio, and we're going to talk economic update. Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, my friend. How are you doing?
Good. You know, these numbers are fresh. You just got back from your safari. I just got back from my road trip to finish that trust and watch my brother complete a built house. So what do the active listings and the rest of the economic update in the Pikes Peak region look like, my friend?
You got it. Well, what had happened for a long time, Jay, is we had an extreme shortage of homes that were available for sale. And I mean in like the summer of 2021 and 22, we got down to sometimes there would only be 300 listings in the MLS. In other words, 300 homes available for sale.
And now we're four consecutive months.
Of over 4,000 listings.
4,000 listings. When's the last time we've been at that level?
It was 2014.
11 years ago.
9 years ago. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. You know, and we're hanging right around that 4,000, too. And I anticipate that to continue here for a bit.
Do you see it going up?
Not in this time of year. I don't.
Okay.
Yep. You know, one thing that is starting to happen that's adding to because of the law changes in residential rental properties, I know several people that are moving. They're listening and they're moving. I know 20 properties personally where people have sold them and moved them to other states. So, you know, you'll see it come up, but I'm not looking for a big increase until into next spring. So I think, you know, some in the winters it always blooms up, so that'll happen. But the number of sales, ironically, we're back to about 22 levels right now. We had a little over 1,000 last month. Go back 3 years, we were a boatload more than that. So our sales are down as well. And then on a
what were the highest number of sales back in the peak years? 3,000
for a month, 2,000.
2,000 per month. So we're at 1,000.
Yep.
So the highest we've been at 2,000.
Yep.
The lowest amount in the last 4 years was about 750, right?
Yep. Yes, in any one month. Our sales on a running average right now, we're around 995. Last time we had that was in 22, 23, but then those levels held from 2014 until 22 or 23. So we're right now at about 995.
An average of 1,000.
Yep.
Hasn't been there last time it was
since
that low.
2014.
2014 again.
Yep. So inventory levels, interestingly enough, right now, 2014 keeps coming back up. We have a little over 4 months of inventory. When we were in those summers of 21 and 22, we got down to 6 days. In other words, it would have taken 6 days to sell off the entire MLS. We're now 4.03. 4.5 to 5.5 is normal. Interesting. I've been talking.
And that means if you have inventory sitting in front of you and unrealistically, but the example is cut off any new homes, it would take 4 months to sell everything.
To sell everything that's there. And interestingly, on this right now, we're still, on my numbers, we're still a little bit below what the norm would be. So I'd call that a neutral market, not really a buyer's market, not really a seller's market.
Okay. Okay.
But where we're at right now, I'm calling it a neutral or almost neutral. The agents I'm talking to are saying it's more of a buyer's. Buyers are asking for more concessions. They're going after more. So interesting, because my, just as a pure, raw statistician, you know, looking at the numbers, I would say we're not quite back to even. It's still a neutral. A lot of agents are telling me they think the buyers are starting to get the upper hand here, getting a lot more concessions, just get the absolute home they want. So we'll see how it shakes out.
You know, yeah, and it breaks down to neighborhoods and streets.
Absolutely.
Now, where some are on the market for 3, 5, 7 months, others are on for 3, 5, 7 days or even hours.
And, you know, Jay, also, it depends on your price ranges. The hot price ranges now are $750 and above.
Absolutely. I see that in my neighborhood where some houses will go off the market in 12 hours, and I've got other houses that I walk by every single week that are still on the market after 4 months because they want $500 a square foot rather than the going $300 a square foot in our neighborhood.
Well, and you know, Jay, about 14% of the sales that are happening in the MLS right now are $750 and above.
14%
of the total number. We had 13,380 units, okay, last month. And of those, basically the 14% of that was $750 and above. And what's real interesting is $300 and below, that's only 9%.
Yeah, there's just nothing left.
No, there's not. There's not. And then the sweet spot is between 3 up to 749.
Sure.
And interestingly enough, even that, it's the 5 to 749s that really, it's 29% of the sales. So just in that price range. So the upper price ranges are the ones that are definitely moving.
And that's between 500 and 750.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So that's surprising.
That's the, you know,
a third, 30% of the entire market is 500,000 to 750.
Yep. Yep. And the other thing that tells me too, we still got a lot of people coming in. You know, I can tell you in the assumption company that we have, we're seeing a lot of people that have sold, you know, properties. Perfect. And we have sold properties, you know, in other states. They're coming in here and they have to fill that gap on the assumptions, which is the difference between what the loan balance is and what the sales price is. And we're seeing a lot coming in from other states with bringing 100,000 down to cover that gap. You know, then they're assuming the loan that's in there that's at a lower interest rate. So we're seeing
and better terms, you know, getting a VA loan with no mortgage insurance, all of that. It's everything and above. So that's great. That's very, very surprising that homes 500 to 750 are a third of the market.
Yeah.
That says a lot about our region.
Yeah, it really does. You know, and another thing that I just want to say, and this is just observation, you are seeing more and more, even out off Woodman, they're building those smaller homes.
Yes.
They look like train boxcars stacked on top of each other. But, man, they are coming in. Those things are running 360 and 370, but that's all people, especially the starter homes, that's all people could afford.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are starters. So, but you're going to see more of those. Interesting, days on market's 54. That's about back to normal. You know, 50 to 60 is our norm.
On average, 54 days your house is going to be on the market before it goes under contract.
Yes, before it goes under contract. Ironically, we've had, on the median sales price, we've had 4 months of decline, and part of that's the time of year, but I want to show you on the running average.
Go back to median just for a second.
Still the median.
Okay, what is the median this month?
It was 479,450.
Great, and last month it was 480. It's just riding that line.
Yeah. Interesting, we've had now 4 straight months on a running average, so I take the last 12 months. Every time we go to a new month, I'm doing it 12 month average in each time. We now have 4 straight months of median price declining,
uh-huh.
And I'm also seeing, interestingly, when we get to the last phase, you're going to see where the median could end the year at zero. It's possible. Average is up too much, but median, we may end that at zero.
Uh-huh.
So there may not be hardly any appreciation.
And what's the average price this last month?
Well, we're still pushing over 3. Yeah, it's crazy.
You mean over 5?
No, I'm talking on the like. Oh yeah, average is
Over 565,000 is the average, and 470 is the median, and that's because the top end is so hot.
Absolutely. You're selling so many homes in the upper range. So even on the 12-month running average, in the average, so on average prices, that is still actually increases. It's actually increasing, believe it or not. Interesting thing in the end, I don't like to compare 1 month to 1 month, like January to January. It's like January of this year to January of last year, February of this year to February of last year. But when I look at this first quarter,
second quarter.
When I'm looking through this, you know, we look at the first quarter, nothing was negative, whether it was average or median. In the second quarter, in median, we had 2 months that were negative. This quarter, so this is the third quarter.
All 3.
We had 3 months that were negative. So, and I'm anticipating that to continue through the end of the year.
Yep.
And so basically what we're going to be looking at is, when we go to take everything, average price is still up 3.2%.
Over 2024.
Yep.
And the median is, you see, 1%. But I think I agree with you. We're going to lose that in the fourth quarter.
If the trend continues, what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 months, absolutely.
That's fine. You got places like Austin, Naples, different places around the country that are down 15, 30%. Well, so in the last minute, what would you tell our listeners?
What I'm going to say right now is average price is up 3.2. It'll end the year positive. It may not be that high, but it's going to end positive. Our median price could end up at zero. It's possible that we may see just a zero. In other words, exactly the same this year as it was last year. Residential units sold were still up year over year, almost 5% over where we were last year. The inventory levels are up. Number of listings is up significantly, 33%. Days on market right now are 54. And what I would say right now, you're going to see short-term rates go down very likely.
Yeah, but we're hoping for a rate decrease again from the Fed.
Absolutely.
But we don't know how that's
going to
be.
And here's what I would say on that. The last decrease they had, our rates actually jumped up. The 30-year jumped up. So I wouldn't rely on that. And I'm saying for long-term rates, I think it's going to be in the next year before we see any kind of significant drop in that long-term rates. I think the market's got to be convinced that inflation's under control.
You've got that market dialed in, Bill. I appreciate that. So if you are looking to buy, sell a home, call me at 719-330-1457. I agree with Bill. I think we've tipped to the middle of the market between buyer and seller demand. But if you find the right team, you can make it your advantage. Call 719-330-1457. I'd love to help you with your next purchase or refinance transaction. Back more and conclusion of the Jay Garvin Show.
Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio. We're back with your home and mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin.
We want to honk you out.
Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Well, thanks for staying with me. I am Jay. This hour, I've been talking about building a home. Blessing or headache? Which one is it? I'll tell you, bottom line up front, components of building your new house are the most important factor. If you have cheap materials, cheap parts, cheap components, you're going to have a cheap house. It seems expensive up front, but with time and inflation, you'll be saving when you spend. And building a home is totally possible, but it is expensive and it is time consuming. I almost built a home in my 20s, and by the grace of God, I had mentors, and they said, hey, you need to build your business before you build your home. And thank God they said that, because I almost built a luxury home in the Spires on Paisley, and that's one of the hardest hit areas of this city in the last 25 years of the ebbs and flows through 2008 and now through 2022. But you have to break down the square footage, because building new can get very, very expensive. And one of the biggest takeaways that people don't know is when you build new, having a budget is not enough. You have to have 10 to 20% of that budget in cash afterwards for yards, fences, finishings. You will spend 10 to 20%. So if you spend $500,000 building a house, you are going to spend $50,000 to $100,000 extra dollars on sheds, grills, extra sidewalks, landscaping, and everything in between. Where if you purchase a resale home, is why I promote this for first-time home buyers, you're only going to spend 5 to 10%. Buy a $400,000 home and you can get away with an extra $20,000 over the next 6 to 18 months settling into that house. But finishing up now with the actual progression, we went through the first phases of actually researching architectural designs and land you want to purchase. Number two, we went through the process. How do you purchase the land? Do you do that with a local bank or do you do that with a national lender? And then, of course, pay for your plans. You have to get that construction loan. That is only a commercial option where you're going to have a draw period for every phase. If you do a small build, you're going to have to do this in your name with an endorsement from the builder. Obviously, the builders do this and you don't incur any of the cost if you do a spec home or some of the national builder custom homes. But then you actually have to get the planning, the interviewing, and the hiring phase for your builder, general contractors, and so forth. Then you have to go through and sit with your builder or determine on your own all of the buying materials, starting with the physical construction, site prep, foundation, and then the builder's pack, framing, all of that. Then you actually build the home structure. This is where it gets exciting because you see the frame being built, you see the exterior walls going up, you see the roof going up, and if your timing is correct, my brother buttoned up his house before November of last year when the first big snow would happen in the Midwest. Then you have a secure home to do all of the install amenities inside the house. In fact, in Wisconsin, where it gets well below freezing, as much as 20 below in the lower part of the state, minus 40 in the north part of the state, closer, you know, to the Upper Peninsula in Minnesota, they were hanging propane heaters. So then they could finish out the concrete in the basement. They were hanging heaters so you could pull electrical above freezing. They were hanging propane heaters to finish out all of the plumbing and then the tin work for your ducts and the HVAC work. All of that is essential, and that itself can take anywhere from 2 to 3 months just for that, from frame to having the entire interior of their house set up. Then you have to actually, after you've got in all the plumbing, after you've got in all of the duct work and the HVAC, after you've got in all of the electrical, then you actually have to finish the interior, hanging all of the drywall, complete with your ceilings. I think he had a knotty pine ceiling with your cathedral ceiling. You have any beams, both fab or authentic, any of your tray ceilings, any of your crown moldings, all of your doors are in now, and you've completed your paint by this point that you're putting in interior finishes on doors, completing out the kitchen. Now you're getting your tradesmen in there with all of the cabinets, the fixtures, appliances, got all the bathrooms. It was amazing because Kohler has a manufacturing plant right in the Milwaukee area, and my brother bought high-end Kohler across the entire interior. You put in quality product, you're going to get a quality result. Now, the next phase, after you get in all of those kitchen cabinets, all of hanging of the doors on the interior, all of the framing of those, now you're putting in all of the hardwood floors inside. You're getting all of the painting done. You're doing all of the moldings, doing all of the caulking, doing all the completion of the closets, the pantries, all of the finished carpentry work, and then you're finishing out with your carpet and the extras. But what about incorporating the personal touches? Some of the personal touches that my brother did was natural gas grill. That's a hookup right in his wraparound porch, covered porch that covers 50%, and did Trex deck out there. That's part of the house, but that exterior, and that was personal touches and upgrades. He did a cathedral ceiling in his great room, and like I said, that knotty pine, put a light finish on that, and then did a fireplace. The original architectural for that fireplace is done right in the original designs, but all of the resin, faux rock on the front, all of the gas implants, the set-ins, all of the mantles and the bases. And another friend of mine who just built, who did an entire outdoor kitchen. And then, of course, if you add amenities to your patios and decks, like I mentioned with my brother, all of those things come. And then finally is your walkthrough, your cleanup. You complete all the extras and add-ons. You do the builder's checklist. Now you need to do your final yard grade. In places like Colorado, you're probably going to zero scape, but he seeded a 1 acre lot and he's got another half acre vacant drainage lot next to him. And then you know, then you need your driveway, your outbuildings, and after all of that, in 18 months that it took him, he now has a brand new house. And for you that want to do that, I would say it is a blessing. He had the time. I think it depends on what station in life you're in order to take the time to enjoy it and not stress. But call me at 719-330-1457. The biggest takeaway is this dream can be yours, and I can help you do it. 719-330-1457. Call me today for your next purchase or home mortgage. And the rest of you, go grow and prosper, and tell someone close to you that you love them. That's all that matters in the end. You've been listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted. The ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
KRDO News Radio does not confirm or deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff or management of KRDO News Radio.
Give me your eyes.